And this night was really probably 6 or so months in the making. Mark and I, our men's ministry leader, was really sitting down chatting about, man, next time if Dave Reaver comes, it'd be really good to be able to have him come and share at a men's barbecue. And we're excited to be able to have him come and share. The hope for tonight was out of this phrase that the Lord gave me is men that stand up. You know, most of us as men, we love the idea of being a Moses that gets to experience the burning bush. And when we love the idea of being a Moses who has the ability to set other people free and go on this brave adventure. But most of us don't want to be the Moses that was found in Exodus chapter 4, verses 24. I don't know if you guys have ever read this scripture before. Exodus 4 and 24 says, it says, "And the Lord at the lodging place sought to kill Moses." You guys ever read that part of the story? Most of us as men, we want the part of the story where there's a burning bush, and we want the part of the story where we get to do great exploits of God, but none of us want to ever go to that lodging place where that flesh inside of us has to die. And the hope is that we encounter the presence of the Lord through the word of God and this mighty man of God, that we actually leave different than the way that we came. And so we believe that this thing has been set up, teed up. I've given Dave, is, you know, 25, 30 minutes to come up here and share. He's going to be with us tomorrow at our 10 o'clock service. I want you guys to know that men like this are just in rare demand. And Dave's going to come bless us tonight. But how many believe that we need to have an Exodus 4:24 moment where there's things inside of our life that need to die? And so, Lord, we give you permission. Us as men, we don't want to leave here the same. We're thankful for dinner. We're thankful for being able to laugh and have fellowship. But, Lord, I pray for every distraction to be gone in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that we would turn our attention and focus not on the man, but on the words that are coming from you and from your throne. So, Lord, we give you permission. We open up our hearts. We open up our lives for what you would have. And we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Man, I want you guys to give a warm Parkway welcome to Brother Dave Reaver as he comes.
Well, good evening. I'm so glad to see you guys tonight. You're a motley-looking crew, but that's all right. I am in Oregon. We got no facial hair here to cover every bald head in America. I tried growing facial hair, but where I'm burned, I don't have any hair. So if you guys will shave the left side, then I'll grow some on the right. You shave your right side, I'll grow some on the left side. Well, anyway, that didn't come off right. Are you happy tonight? Yeah. Wasn't that a great dinner, man? Had a great conversation today with Chaplain that's here. We were together in Taji, Iraq. Iraq has some good and bad memories for me. Phil, would you take it? In 2010, I was in Tikrit, and I jumped out of a helicopter. Forgot I was not a teenager anymore. And I broke 6 vertebrae. And I mean shattered them. That's the exact word doctor used. So they put in 12 screws and 2 rods. And I can't walk very good. Found out the other day I have 2 screws loose. I thought, you know, they're in my back, not my head. Right now I'm having a real difficult time walking. But I can still talk. I can talk my own ear off. Some of you didn't get that because you don't know me well enough. I have an artificial ear. It was blown off, so they made me an They made me a nose 6 years ago. It's not. It's a boy. I got lips back. They made my eyelids and released my neck. I told them, don't mess with my ear. They made me a plastic and artificial one years ago, and it just clips on. One time I was preaching in Jamaica, and it fell off. I didn't know it. Everybody's, I'm checking my fly because I thought it was open, you know. Something wrong here. I checked my fly was fine. I look around and my ear was laying on my shoulder. I couldn't ignore it because they're not breathing. If I don't do something, they're going to have a Jonestown without the grape Kool-Aid. And so I got my ear and dried the sweat. I stuck it back on. They thought it was a miracle and they all got saved. That's a true story. It really happened. So you're probably sitting there saying, man, he lost more than his ear. I do not have Dame Bramage. I'm checking to see if you're listening. And you're listening pretty good. I don't travel alone anymore. I usually have an assistant with me. Last year I had my driver, Justin. Well, we were planning on doing another trip in that big coach, but one of the programs canceled, and we don't typically find any place once it's on Mother's Day. I could go off on that. So we decided we'd fly out. So I have with me today my hero, and I mean that literally. He's captain of the fire department in Pueblo, Colorado. Would you welcome my son-in-law, Philly? Yeah. Phil Chapin.
Thank you.
Well, good evening. It's nice to be with you guys. I appreciate the opportunity to be here, but I have to say, it is awesome to see a room full of men. You know what I mean? And to hear men actually sing, except for Pastor, it's awesome. It's a great opportunity for us to get together today, but I don't want to take a lot of time, but I did want to say this. You know, a lot of us work in, basically we work in places, offices or establishments where there's not a lot of believers. And so, you know, we find ourselves like seeing things, hearing things that make us feel uncomfortable. You don't know whether or not to say something, whether to keep your mouth shut, but you know, little by little, we don't realize that sometimes that toxicity and negativity, it erodes at us, and it creeps into our own spirits, our own hearts. And as a firefighter, I'm sure many of you can imagine what the firehouse is like. It's awesome, I'm not going to lie. But at the same time, it's very dark as well. You know, men that work in the firehouse don't have a lot of belief in God because we see a lot of bad. We see a lot of things that happen, and there's a reaction to blame God. Well, if God was really real, then why did this happen? And I'm speaking for, you know, in regards to like children that die, SIDS deaths and things like that. But in my career, I see a lot of negative. I see a lot of horrible things. And, you know, sometimes it's one of those things where I even feel overwhelmed and I feel like it gets into me. But when I go to church, I find it very hard because I'm always in, if you allow me to say, I'm in captain mode, have to be in control, have to make sure everything's going all right, my head's on a swivel, making sure everybody's okay and safe. And what happens is you end up becoming desensitized. Does that make any sense to any of you? And so I get desensitized, and so I see these horrible things, but I stay in character, I stay in professional mode. And then when I get into church and the Holy Spirit's moving and the worship is just really cranking, it takes me forever before it finally dawns on me, like, wait a second, this is where I need to be. And it's hard to crack that hard shell, that crustiness that the world tends to put all over us, you know? And I just want to encourage you. This is not my night, it's Dave's night. But I just want to encourage you to, when you go to church and you finally have that opportunity to allow God to bring that water, the living water, and let it just begin to saturate your soul and feed you and begin to drink at that fountain, because I'm going to tell you what, when come Monday comes around, it's going to be hard again. And I don't know about you, but I look forward to the weekend for me, because it seems like the only time that I can actually get a reprieve from all the negativity. And so don't be bashful with your faith. Be proud. Be strong. And be an example to your wife and your children. God bless you.
Good job. Thank you. I always say to firefighters, when you got burned in Vietnam, where were you when I really needed you? Well, they weren't born yet. I'm 78, but I'm going on 50. 50 is a new 30. Common Core math, I'm 21. I like Common Core math. But Phil is he's a couple years from retirement, and been a faithful servant to his community and to God. He's my hero. I'm going to do something really quick because I don't want to waste any time on it, but I want to do it fast. I have some books I'd like to mention to you. We have a book called Forged in Fire, which is, the subtitle is A Lifetime of Pain Forged a Lifestyle of Resiliency. And I'm a contractor with Department of Defense. Even though I'm 78, they still send me all over the world. And I teach resiliency and suicide prevention. That book, you'll understand why I do what I do. and how I came back from a war. I didn't know what PTSD was. It sounded like a sexually transmitted disease. I didn't want it. So I didn't know I had it, and still am in denial in a lot of ways, but the evidence of it is pretty clear in my life because I can't stay out of war zones. I love it when they send me into war zones to work with the troops, and I got a chapter right here to verify what I'm saying. I've been in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, UAE, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, Bosnia, Kosovo, North Africa, South Korea, Okinawa, Japan, and then countries I didn't know where it was. And they have places like Ohio and Texas in that country. Never mind. Anyway, and A Consuming Fire is a little book that goes with it, and it's a daily devotional. And then another book called Scarred, and that book is autobiography, and it shows you how I work with DOD today, and a lot of pictures of the places we've gone. So if you don't like to read, you got a lot of pictures. If you want to, you can color in it too. Another book called War and Recovery, A Spiritual Journey, and this book is a short story from the battlefield. Every story has a scripture underlying it to teach a lesson to take to the mission field. It's the most popular book probably I've ever written till the more recent one. And then we got something really cool. These little thumb drives, which I'm not good at talking about thumb drives. It's kind of like hitchhiking, only carry me a block. Never mind. My jokes are really sick. You'll see. Forged in Fire is an audio book, and you can get it on this, or you can download it offline. But I hope you'll advantage yourself to these things because they are very, very apropos for men to read. I don't write from a woman's point of view because I ain't one. But I think you'll find them very important to your family to learn lessons. Maybe you don't have to go down the same road I did. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, I always tell people I go to war, I get a purple heart. You go to divorce court, get a broken heart. Duh. I'd rather have a purple heart than a broken heart. Jesus didn't come for a purple heart. He came for the brokenhearted. And I want to tell you today, everything that God has allowed me to go through, he didn't make me go through it. He didn't do it to me. I've never blamed God. I've never blamed God for the injury in Vietnam or jumping out of that helicopter in Iraq in 2010. I've never blamed God. I'm the guy that jumped out of the helicopter. He's still in it. He said, don't jump, and I did. They said, well, the angel of the Lord, my angels are going through a post-traumatic stress disorder healing training right now, trying to get over it. But here's the bottom line, guys. I don't want to go a day without Jesus. Amen. Come on, guys. And if you're new to this concept, talking about God and all that, well, I've been speaking in the military for decades. I've been working since 9/11, and I've been speaking in public schools since 1976, addressed over 8 million students. I live in a world of the world. I don't live in a world of the church. I speak in churches on Sunday. Monday through Friday, I'm in government institutions, like schools or military. Saturday, I'm traveling to the next place. And so I feel very comfortable to talk to guys like you because many of you work in the areas I work in. Like the fire department, my son-in-law was just caught between two big gang members and all their family members in a big row and drive-by shooting. They're out there in T-shirts. That's their body armor. T-shirts. They were extracting three guys that were shot in Pueblo a couple weeks ago. Three of them. Through the back of the head, through the neck, through the cheek. One through the groin, cut his big artery runs through the leg, bleeding out. Never be a femur. Artery, whatever it's floral. I know what I'm talking about. Yeah, femoral. Thank you. Sounds feminine, but anyway. I don't want it. But the fact is, you get involved. And so, the day before yesterday, we went to Pueblo, and our ministry bought 33 sets of armor for $42,000 to cover those firemen. So when they go in to extract those people and come under fire, they are protected with more than a T-shirt. And the city loved it. So whenever you see the need, you have the call. Did you hear me? So tonight I'm here seeing a need. Men, we need to come together in mutual support of each other because as time moves forward now, you're going to come under more and more pressure for your family especially. And when there's not a man in the house, when there's not the priest of the household, I'm going to tell you right now, that family's not going to make it. They're not going to make it. I don't care how good a family you think you've got. Unless you as the priest takes your role in that house, your family will not make it. You better listen to me. Because the pressure that's coming to our families today, especially in places like Oregon, Colorado, California, you better pay attention, because the day is coming. The pressure will be so intense. If you don't know how to stand, you'll fall, and your family will fall with you. If you don't believe me, read the book of Ruth. And with that said, I would like to share some things with you that God put in my heart. And I'm not good at scriptures from Bible, because most of them I can't hold it very good. But if you have your iPhones, turn with me.
I think that's funny.
I'm the only one who thinks it's funny. I want to talk to you from the book of John, chapter 21, verse 15. I'll read. You don't have to turn to it, but I'll read it for you. Well, I'm going to talk about, are you the man you think you are? That's a pretty challenging thought. It's a big statement. Are you the man you think? Are you the man you want people to think you are? Are you the man that God made you to be? Are you less than that? Verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now, verse 16. He saith unto him again the second time. Look at the word again. Say again. Let me hear you. Again. That means he repeated himself, virtually word for word. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He answered, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 17. He saith unto him the third time. What's not there? The word again is not there. I'm going to hit some of your theology right in the mouth. Right? This is a little smash mouth theology. Jesus didn't say the same thing three times. But Brother David says that. No, I know what it says in the Old English. But in the original Greek, he did not say the same thing three times. The third time he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time. Not again the third time. He was grieved because he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He answered and said, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. I'm going to paraphrase for time's sake in a lot of ways here, because you need to hear what I'm talking about. There's three words for love, guys. One is eros, the other is phileo, and the other is agape. Now, there's other words that kind of describe it, even family love, but those are the main three. Eros is sexual love. That's sexual intercourse between a man and woman. The second is phileo love, which means brotherly love. Phileo is the word for the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. The third is agape love. And in the original, when the Bible says God is love, the original is God is agape. Agape is God's love, not man's love, not love for people helping people help themselves. That's a great term, and it's wonderful. But it's not people letting God do it. You know, when Jesus said, render unto Caesar what's Caesar's, we have to be really careful we don't render unto Caesar what's God's. Don't give man the love that belongs to God. Now, I'll show you what I mean if it didn't come out right. Jesus said to Simon Peter, the first time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? That word is agape. Do you love me with God's love? Peter answered, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo. I love you. I love you with a brother's love. Jesus said to him again the second time, like, no, Peter. I said, do you love me with the love of God? Lovest thou me? Lord, thou knowest that I phileo, I brotherly love you. Jesus said to him the third time, now listen carefully, you brotherly love me? He changed it from agape to brother. Are you listening? It's very important. I don't want to bore you with this, but it's going to come alive in about 30 seconds. You love me with the love of man? Peter was grieved because Jesus lowered the quality and standard of love to say, yes, Lord, you know I brotherly love you. The command was still the same, feed the sheep. Whether you love him or not, we are ordered, we're commanded to feed the sheep. We'll be held accountable for that. Make no mistake about it. But the third time grieved him because, and that's when he said, Lord, thou knowest all things. That word all, that doesn't mean some of, part of, lots of, most of, that's all. God knows everything. And when Jesus said to Peter, if you remember the story, Peter, by the way, he said, you're going to curse me at the job of a servant girl, the crowing of a rooster. You'll deny me. Peter said, not me. If you ever need me, call me. 1-800-PETER. I'll be right there. And at the job of a servant girl, the crowing of a rooster, Peter cursed Jesus literally to his face. Jesus was standing right there, heard every word he said. When that little girl said, you're one of them, no, 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 no. The guy who thought he was better than all of you, though all forsake you, that's all. That includes you, me, pastor. Though all forsake you, yet will not I. Call me 1-800-PETER. When he was called on, he failed miserably. He was so humiliated and embarrassed. He went over, sat down on the porch, put his face in his hands, tears dripping through his fingers, and he wept bitterly, the Bible says. He didn't just weep. You can weep for joy, you can weep out of pain, but bitter tears are from self-discovery. Say that with me, self-discovery. See, when you find out you're not what you thought you were, it's very embarrassing. I was born to a woman that almost died, did die because of my birth later. I was raised by a Mexican nanny. My first language was Spanish. I didn't learn English until I was 6 years old. They said, I didn't learn English, go to school. And then they told me I wasn't a Mexican. That blew my Latino mind. I was not what I thought I was. I remember the day. I remember the tears. I cried for weeks because I was not what I thought I was. I thought I was a Mexican. When you find out you're not the man you think you are, it's probably the best day of your life, but it's also the most embarrassing. And what brings that moment to pass? Usually, it's the stark, raving suffering of some kind of, whether it's embarrassment, humiliation, physical pain, physical injury. Whew. I learned it as a boy at 6 years old, but I learned it as a man at 22 years old. On the bank of a river in Vietnam on the border with Cambodia. Some of you know my story from last visit. I picked up a hand grenade to throw it at the enemy. White phosphorus burns 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit. You military guys know I'm telling you the truth. Can't extinguish it, it has to burn itself out. It'll blow up in water and burn in water. I drew back to throw it, and the sniper shot at my head, missed, hit my hand, and blew the grenade right beside my face right here. That's why this side's all artificial. It's not even my hair. Well, it's my hair, but I bought it. There's a bald guy in China. It's made in China. Hope he's from Wuhan. Revenge of the wig. So, humiliation, embarrassment, pain, difficulty, challenge, confrontation, all these things that are so negative that we don't want in our lives sometimes are the most important thing in our life. People said to me, boy, that was the toughest day of your life on the bank of that river that day. I said, it's probably the best day of my life. How can you say that? Because that's the day I learned to lean on Jesus. That's the day I learned to love him. See, it's like this. Peter, do you love me? Well, Jesus, I really like you a lot. No. I said, Peter, second time, do you love me? Jesus, you know I like you a lot. You just like me? Ooh, Jesus, don't put it that way. I don't know how to love you. Whew. Do you know how to love him? See, I grew up in a Christian home. I gave my heart to Jesus. At 5 years old, I prayed, Jesus, forgive me my sin. But I didn't even know what sin was. Five-year-old boy doesn't know what sin is. 11 years later, at 16, I met this really beautiful girl. I found out what sin was. I was sinking deep in sin. Because I liked it. Until one day I realized if I go this next step, I'm going to violate my body. I'll violate everything I believe. And that's the day the Spirit of God reminded me of a little five-year-old boy's prayer. And I said, Jesus, take me back. Take me back to that five-year-old boy's prayer. And I committed my life to Christ at 16 years old to a prayer I prayed at 5 years old. I'm going to tell you now, at 78, I've never gone back on that commitment. And I never will. Come too far to turn back now. Have I made mistakes? Don't even go down that road. Yeah, we all make mistakes. I lead many a sinner's prayer. Oh, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. Thank you. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died for me on the cross. And I believe you are the propitiation of my sin. That is to say, I believe your death saved me from my sin. The life you lived qualified you for the death you died. And the death you died qualified me for the life you lived. I believe that. And then I pray, and God, I'm never going to sin again. I'm going to serve you. And then, but if I do, but I'm not going to, but if. But I'm not going to sin. But if I do, but I'm not going to. And I'm not making excuses now, Lord, to sin later. I'm just not going to sin. But if I do, but I won't. But if I have an advocate with a Father named Jesus, he's my lawyer in heaven, which proves even lawyers can go to heaven. You're my barrister in heaven. He pleads my case before the great Supreme Court and the great Supreme Court judge. I love Jesus so much, man. I thank God for his spirit that comforts but also convicts and shows me, don't go down that road. Save me some life, some death in my life, and some pain that I don't need to add to the pain I've already known. I was in the hospital for a year and 2 months. I've had 64 surgeries and another one coming up this summer. Still trying to put Humpty Dumpty together again. So let's go to another scripture that I think you might just find this very, very, very interesting. It's in Matthew chapter 16. And this is the story when Jesus said to Peter, when they came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, get it back up here. Wow. That's what I love about when you don't have fingers, and when you do, they don't have any feeling, you don't know where you are most of the time. We'll try again. Okay, here we are. This is when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, some of the prophets. Then he said to them, but whom do ye say that I am? This is where it gets personal again. This is where you start to find out, are you who you say you are? Are you what you hope you are? Who do you say I am? And they said, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ. Say the Christ. That's the same as saying the Messiah, the anointed ones, identical. That's what that word Christ means, the anointed one. To call Jesus the anointed one was a death warrant on you right then and there. If you believe that Jesus was the Messiah to come, the Jewish religious community would kill you on the spot. And they tried to. They ultimately did. Jesus said, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee. Was Jesus standing there in spirit? Come on. No, he was in flesh and blood. Jesus just told Peter, I didn't tell you I'm the Son of God. I didn't tell you that. The Father, he said, which is in heaven, hath revealed it unto thee. Oh, pay close attention, guys. This gets real personal real quick right here. Jesus said, the Father in heaven said it to you on earth. His mind spoke to you. His spirit spoke to your mind. Your mind spoke to your brain. Your brain spoke to your nervous system. It sent electronic pulses through your nerves, into your neck, into your shoulders, down your arms, into your chest cavity. It inhaled air. It compressed that air and forced it back out through larynx that set up a vibration and a sound that your tongue articulated, shaped with your lips, and your mouth spoke the mind of God, which is the same as saying, Peter, you're the mouthpiece of God. Anybody want to disagree? You're the mouthpiece of God. It's really important because Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I give thee the keys of the kingdom. Watch the things you bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. Loose on earth, loose in heaven. Y'all heard this. Hang on another minute. And he went on and he said to them, I will suffer many things of the chief priests and elders. I'll suffer, listen to, suffer, be killed, and raised again the third day. What is the good news? That he suffered? No, that's bad news. That he was killed? That's really bad news. So where's the good news? On the third day, he said, I'll be raised again. That's good news. Amen? Amen. Hang in here because this gets real personal. Jesus just said to Peter, this is the gospel. I will suffer, be killed, and raised again the third day. And Peter said, be it far from thee, Lord. It shall not be so unto thee. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. He didn't call Peter Satan. He said that what you said came from the mind of Satan. Whoa, wait a minute. A while ago, he's the mouthpiece of God. Now he's the mouthpiece of the devil. And Jesus went on and said, now see to it you tell no man I'm Jesus the Christ. In other words, I am the Messiah, but keep your mouth shut. Don't tell anybody you know me. Because one moment you're the mouthpiece of God, next moment you're the mouthpiece of the devil. So keep your mouthpiece shut. Because no one can do more damage to the kingdom of God than people who claim to be believers and then fail under the pressure. Oh, though all forsake you, yet will not I. That moment of self-discovery. And until you go through that moment, you'll never know what it's like to know Jesus and the sufferings of his survival from the cross to the tomb. When he came out of that tomb, everything changed. The good news took over. When Jesus said it's finished, he wasn't talking about the gospel. That was the beginning of the gospel. He said it's finished. That meant his hour of suffering, that they tried to kill him on other occasions, would have stoned him, but he walked out through the crowd. They didn't even know where he was or who he was. But when his time was come, he was betrayed by the kiss of one of his very own people, the people he trusted the most. Oh, listen to me, guys. The wages of sin is not sickness. It's death. God doesn't make us sick because we sin. We make ourselves sick. We smoke ourselves, drink ourselves, eat ourselves to death. I remember I was trying to play golf one day, which I don't play golf very good, so I swing with everything I've got. Then I have to go in the woods and find my club. That's the truth, because my hands don't grip very good. Sometimes I hear, there goes my club. I have to go get it. I'm not kidding you. The ball's still on the ground. My club's out there in the bush. I was playing golf one day, and this guy comes sliding up on his cart, jumped off and said, man, my cigarettes fell off somewhere. Do you smoke? I said, I did once. He looked at me and said, but they got the fire out. Smoking's very hazardous to your health. We do everything to ourselves, and when we get sick, why me, God? Well, don't blame God what you did to yourself. God had a guy sitting in the airplane next to me, to my right. That's why I like the window seat to my right. Windows and walls don't ask embarrassing questions. You just got to, what happened to your face? I looked at him. He's ugly. I said, what happened to your mother? You know you're ugly when you're born and they slap your mom. So this guy in Crockett, Texas, years ago, I got up to preach. This guy gets up and he said, I have not even spoken yet. The pastor introduced me with a prayer. Oh, Jesus, thank you for sending Dave, who was injured in Vietnam. Well, I'm glad he told God how I was injured. He was trying to introduce me at the same time, pray, save time. I'm standing there. I'm trying not to bust out laughing when he said, oh, God, just set him on fire and let us watch him burn up. Not again, Lord. That was my introduction. So I'm standing there. I'm trying to recover. And all of a sudden, 60 people in the back of that church got up and started walking out, filing out that back door one at a time. I'm standing there looking. I was speechless. I thought, man, I showered. I shaved. I wasn't picking my nose. I didn't do anything wrong. And they're all even. And the last guy got the door trying to look at me and he said, get the sin out of your life. God, take those scars off your face. He said it. Thank you. Thank you for saying no, because that's, it shocked me so badly. My knees gave way. If I didn't have a podium in front of me, I would have fallen down. Words can hurt like being beaten with a stick. And the Lord spoke to me. If I did that to you because you sinned, why did I allow them to do that to Jesus because you sinned? Did Jesus pay it all, or did he just pay a lot of it and I have to make up the difference? Is that the way it is? No. Listen to me, guys. We make ourselves sick, but don't blame God. God does not do evil. God does not make us sick. God does not. There's a hell for us if we don't get it right. Until then, it's like eat, drink, be merry. Momente mori. Memento mori. The moment of death. Caesar, when he went through the great parades, had a servant stand behind him whispering to him, memento mori. The moment of death will come. You will die. You're not a god. You're just a man. The moment of death will come. You're not a god. You're just a man. Let me tell you something, guys. This is no time to be playing church. There's no time to be messing around. It's no time to live it one way at church and another way at the job. I remember I spoke for a youth convention in Illinois. It had about 3,000 teenagers. It's a Christian event. I spoke in the morning and the evening, but at 1 o'clock after lunch, they had a big concert, music concert. And the director said, Amy Grant will be here at 1 o'clock. Those kids didn't even go eat. They just went straight to the auditorium to get the best seat in the house. people that weren't even registered and didn't pay to get there snuck in. The place was standing room only. If the fire marshal walked in, they would have fined us all. I'm sitting there amazed at the crowd. They're all jibber-jabber and talking and laughing and kind of having a good time. All of a sudden, the lights went down. The focus was on a spotlight on stage. The curtain pulled back. And out comes Amy Grant. Click, 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 click. A cardboard cutout. What came out of the mouth of those kids was not praise the Lord. It was F-bombs. You would not believe what came out of those kids' mouth. I got saluted with one finger, and I wasn't even behind that cardboard cutter. I'm sitting off to the side. I didn't know. I thought Amy Grant was going to be there. It was a farce, a hoax, to make a point, I guess. I don't know what it was, but I made a point. As angry as I was for what I heard, God got me under control, got my words to come out right when I stood up and said, now you know how your kid friends at school feel when you call yourself a Christian, but you go to school and you act just like they do. You're nothing but a cardboard cutout. Best altar call I've given in decades. Because kids are willing to be changed. Are you willing to be changed? Are you willing to be the man God wants you to be? Are you willing to lay aside that self-proclaimed image of greatness that we all think about ourselves? Are we? Are we willing to be what God wants us to be? Go where God wants us to go. Do what God wants us to do. Do you like him? Or do you love him? If you love me, he said, you'll keep my commandments. So on the bank of a river, when I looked down, I saw my heart beating and blood squirting out of a right wrist that was severed by a piece of shrapnel. I knew I wasn't dead because I could not only feel my pulse, I could see my pulse. That's how I knew I wasn't dead. And what went through my mind was not shrapnel, believe it or not. What went through my mind was a scripture I learned as a little boy from Philippians 1, chapter 21. Verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You can't even kill a Christian. You just get them where they're going quicker. Kill me, I go to heaven. If I live, I'm going to live for Christ. So I win-win. I can't lose. Have you come too far to turn back now? Have you made a commitment to Christ yet? If not, this is a good time to do it tonight. My time's up, but I want you to hear me carefully. Don't put off till tomorrow what God's told you to do today. Procrastination comes from fear or laziness. I can see you here now. You're not lazy. But don't be afraid to commit yourself to Christ. Because I promise you, it's a whole lot more than putting on a red gown, shaving your head and getting a tambourine, going down to Portland International Airport and singing about Hare Krishna. Thank God Jesus, when he saves us, makes us normal, not weird. The world's what's weird. My word. A hairy chin guy out there playing sports with a bunch of girls? Are you kidding me? I don't give a rip if you think that's political. That's not political. That's stupidity. The world has gone absolutely insane. Be who you say you are in Christ. Sometimes you get stuck with things you didn't expect. I remember whenever I had 13 operations before I left the hospital after 14 months. On one of the operations, there's three forms of grafting you go through when you're burned. You get hemograft, which is animal skin, usually pig skin. Your body's not going to grow up, but your body thinks, oh, I got skin. And it grows blood vessels toward that skin. Then your body rejects it because the DNA doesn't match. Then they have cadaver skin, which is a whole lot closer. At least it's human skin. My watch is telling me to shut up. And so the cadaver skin is so close. It lasts a little bit longer, but it's cadaver skin. Your body rejects that. Then they take skin off your body where you were not burned, and they put it where you were burned, and that's called autograft. Not autograph. Autograft's your signature. Autograft is skin taken from your own body, and your body will grow that skin. I'm not going to talk about the first or second. I'm going to talk about the cadaver skin. I was always pulling stunts with my doctors. They were pulling pranks on me. That was part of the fun of the hospital. Find anything to laugh about. So on one of these big operations where they were putting this cadaver skin on me, like I gave my body back to Brooke Army Medical Center. When I die, they get all the good stuff. What's left, they bury above my wife. But until that day, they were playing tricks on me, and they took that guy who gave his skin, and I used it, He was a sailor, and he had a big old ship and a tattoo. I never had a tattoo in my life but one. I got his tattoo. And when I woke up from surgery, I sat up, they put a mirror. They put that tattoo of that ship right on my face. I was ship-faced. You know, they say that fathers will pass their sin down to their children. It's kind of like that tattoo. I got somebody else's tattoo. Were you born without sin? No, you were born in sin just like me. We're born in that stuff, and we hated it. And it was very painful. When you came down that birth canal, you weren't laughing. You were screaming. And so was your mom. She hates your dad. We live in pain. We die in pain. Our marriages are cursed and a vow to seal it by saying, until death do us part. So death or divorce, your marriage is not going to end well. There's not a marriage in this room right now that's going to end well. Someone's going to die or wish you could make them die. That's called divorce. So my question is to you, memento mori, you're not a God, you're a man. And are you prepared for that last breath? If not, now's the time to settle the old account with Jesus. Oh, guys, I don't just like you. I truly love you before Christ. I love you. I don't want to see you suffer. There's two places to have scars, man. The inside, like my son-in-law, who was raised by a prostitute, 5 siblings, none of them had the same dad. A man that's known nothing but abuse all of his childhood. Yet here he is today, a man of God and a man in the world that carries such authority. And his integrity is unmatched among those firemen. They love him. They respect him. Unanimous vote to put him in as president of the union. I'm going to tell you, when you've got God, you've got it all. You've got everything you need. He said, I'll give you everything that you need to succeed in life. All things pertaining to godliness, he'll give it to you. There's no excuse. And the bottom line is, if I can make it, you can make it. One of my presentations for in the morning, I'll give you a little clue of it. I go back to Vietnam all the time. I have 400, I have in Vietnam, I have 200,000 students online in Vietnam, 400,000 worldwide, 480,000. 44 countries, 14 languages. We're all over the world. In Vietnam, we have public schools, or private schools, but they're for the public. And they won't let us call it Christian school. I'll show you how brilliant communists are. They say, you can't call it Christian school. Well, can we call it King James Culture School? Yeah, that's okay. That's a 6½ dozen of the other idea, isn't it? So we have King James Culture Schools in Vietnam. And I look back at the day I was on the bank of that river and I wonder, God, I didn't know then. If I'd known then what I know now, I would have gone through the pain of it all with a little less anxiety. But I was in Vietnam a couple years ago, and I was taking pictures of the Wallo prison, better known as Hanoi Hilton. They were tearing it down, but they were tearing down in segments. It still had a lot of prisoners in there, not American prisoners. But I took back Robinson Reisner, who was the highest ranking POW, 7 years in the Hanoi Hilton, 4½ years in solitary. I finally got him to go back after 5 or 6 years of pestering him to go. He was on my board. And he's dead now. He died recently. But he finally went back. And I was taking all these pictures. I didn't realize the government didn't want me taking pictures of that prison. No prison wants you taking pictures of it. But I didn't want to lose this moment in history when I took the highest-ranking POW back to his cell. They let me do that. But when I got out and I'm taking pictures, then I looked over as I was getting in my cab. The police were getting in trucks, and they were chasing my cab. Man, I never saw a cab. It was like a little dog with his tail tucked on a dead run getting out of there. That truck followed, so I ran. We went to what's called the MIA mission. When America pulled out of the war, we never pulled out our troops, all of our troops. We have troops to this day in the MIA mission. They can't wear a uniform, they can't carry guns, but they're an Army regiment out of Hawaii that works all over Vietnam looking for remains of prisoners of war or MIA missing in action. So I get in there, and they all knew me because I was on TV up here out of Washington, Channel 21 for years on TBN. All those guys knew me because they were from Lewis McCord. And I get in there, and they said, Dave, what are you doing here? I said, I'm running from the cops. Shut that gate, man. So they did, and they said, we're so glad you're here. It's a day of celebration. I said, what are you celebrating? Are you ready? So we've been looking. We found records of the 5th Group, which are special forces, who were in north of the DMZ, in North Vietnam, high up on a desert plateau in the mountainous regions, and they were surrounded by the NVA, not Viet Cong, but the North Vietnamese Army, well-trained, tough nuts, buddy. They were good fighters. And they were closing in, and they had no way out. So they had radios then that were called line of sight. They didn't have satellites or repeater stations. If you could see it, you could talk to it. Well, they're in North Vietnam. They're on a mountaintop. It's in a cloud cover. They have, but out of urgency, they raised that antenna up beside the gun. Mayday, mayday. And who picked it up? A major in the United States Navy flying the F-4 Phantom could hear it. He answered, what's your problem? He said, we're surrounded by the NVA. We need you to drop a 500 or 1,000 pound ordnance on the enemy. I said, well, where are you? And they gave him a grid coordinates. He said, I can't drop that bomb. There's cloud cover. I can't see. Drop it anyway, because if you don't hit us, you hit them, we're free. If you don't hit them and hit us, they're going to kill us anyway. So drop the ordnance. He refused to do it. They argued over it. Drop the ordnance. I will not drop this ordnance. I may kill all of you. And about that time, the captain of the Green Bay looked up, and that little F-4 dropped below the cloud cover. Came in right over the enemy, dropped it smack on him, but could not pull out in time, and drove that beautiful aircraft and his life right into a mountainside. They said this happened years and years ago. We've looked everywhere. We found the aircraft, Dave, today. This one, we found it. I said, well, you did? He said, yeah, but we can't find the pilot. We can't find his body anywhere. I said, I've heard this story. He said, no, you hadn't, Mr. Eva, just broke today. I said, I've heard that story. He said, what story? I said, about a guy that came from above the clouds and dropped below the clouds. And he dropped ordnance on the enemy. And he set the captives that would have been taken free, but he couldn't pull out in time. He crashed into a mountain. They found the tomb, but they can't find the man. He looked at me and said, Reaver, you're an evangelist. I said, yes, I am. I got to tell you guys, as we go, they can't find his body in the tomb, but I found it alive and well, and he's living right here in my heart. He is risen. Amen. Let's just give the Lord a clap offering. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. So to close here, I want you to follow me in a prayer. Now, listen, I don't pray. I will say I don't pray for you. I pray for you, but I'm not going to pray instead of you praying. In this case, I want to prime the pump. Some of you don't pray enough to even know how to pray. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray thee, Lord, my son. No, we're going to do a little bit better than that. Are you ready? I'll help you. But tonight when you go home, in whatever stutter you may have, they said Moses couldn't speak well. He stuttered so bad he had Aaron do his preaching for him. I don't care how you speak or how poorly you speak. Speak from the heart to God with whatever is your best presentation, confessing him with your mouth. Let's do that right now. If you know Christ, repeat, renew your vows. Return to your first love as though this is your dedication, first time ever to Jesus, just for the memory of it. But if you have not made this commitment, pray. I'm making this as easy as I can because most guys are too shy. They don't want their voice heard above anybody. Just mix your voice with ours. He knows how to sort it out. Let's pray this prayer together. Are you ready? Hats off, guys. I take my hat off. My hairpiece goes with it. You tell me. Are you ready? Now, don't yell because he's not deaf, but don't whisper because he's not nervous. Speak with your normal voice, and let's confess our heart to Christ. Here we go. Lord Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are. I know I'm not who I wish I was or even claim I am. You are perfect and without sin. I was born in sin. I hate it. I don't want it. I want to get rid of it. So today, I follow what your word declares to do. To confess you are the Son of God. The only Son of God. I believe you lived a perfect life and qualified you to die for my sinful soul. I believe after your death, 3 days later, you rose from the dead. They found the tomb, but not your body. Today I invite you into my life. And upon my confession that I'm a sinner, and my confession that you are the Savior, I confess I am by faith, from this day forward, a child of God, co-heir with Jesus Christ. I am from this day forward a Jesus follower, and I'm going to stop sinning. Here we go. But if I do, but I won't, but if I do, I'm not planning on it, but if I by some chance might make a mistake and fall, I solemnly vow I will not lay there in my sin. I'll rise again. If I fall 7 times, I'll get up 8 times. I will never stop following you for the rest of my life. So help me, God. Please help me. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the family of God. Well, guys, it's been a real joy being with you tonight. I'm not a preacher. I'm really a parabolist. I tell parables by personal experience. And I'm not a joker. I don't mean jokes, but I do see the funny side of life. Because I laugh my way out of hell. I'm going to laugh my way through those swinging pearly gates. Because I went through hell to get there. Hair on fire and blisters on my feet. To show where I came from. And I will not be denied my destiny. Heaven's my home. I'm Dave Reaver and I approve of this message. Hey, look, if you want to buy our material, you can use your credit card. And listen carefully because you need to know this. Pastor is one of the most secure pastors I've ever met. I'm not kissing up to the man. Listen to me. You will not believe pastor is so scared to death I'm going to be blessed with a financial gift out of this church. I don't get the money. It goes to our 501c3 Operation Warrior Reconnect. And today, whenever you give, there's 2 things you can do. We're not even going to pass it, but if you buy anything from my table here, you put it on a credit card. We are buying, we just purchased, our ministry just purchased $43,000 worth of armor for the police department, of a little police department in Colorado that's been under fire and being shot at and putting their life on the line with a t-shirt for armor. We changed that yesterday. We're giving them the gift of 33 armor suits for that fire department. Isn't that cool? So here's what I'm going to ask you. If you would like to support our ministry, there's 2 things we're doing. We are paying for the Warrior River Run that I just came from, where we bring in all these warriors from across the country to the current river that runs through the middle of the Mark Twain National Forest. And I've got another session coming up right away where we bring in military guys. So 2 things. You're going to help me pay for my warrior's journey so that they don't have to pay to be helped. We cover everything, round trip airfare, everything. They don't pay a penny. And it costs me $30,000 every week I do a program. Now you're going to help me with, I have a $20,000 matching fund. So if I can get $20,000 before too much longer, I got all my money for those suits to be paid for. I got to pay for it in 60 days. So you can help me. And if you think I came for your money, Shut your mouth. Your pie hole has just got too much. You got your foot in it. I didn't come for your money. I came for your love. And if you want to give, give. But nobody's under any pressure. No one. You give on your credit card or your neighbor's card. No, no, I'm kidding. Ain't not. But any gift of $1,000 or more is matched with $1,000, whatever your gift is. And that's significant. My donors are American Airlines, Banker Insurance, Hobby Lobby. These are people that believe in me, and if they can, so can you. I promise to be a good steward of your gift. Thank you so much. Let me be with you. Our book's right over here. I hope you enjoy them. God bless you.
I love you, man. Thank you, buddy.
You need your time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dave. You've been such a blessing to us. Jason, would you come up? Guys, if you would, we got just enough time for a couple worship songs. And I'd just like to give the Lord glory for the way he's working in lives right now. And Jason, if you'd bless us with some worship. Let's leave here praising the Lord, guys. Thank you.
So really quick, I thank you, Dave. Just the inspiration. I thank God just for what he's doing in this room today. And I felt like the whole time I'm sitting here going, God, I feel called. When we planned this thing, it was like, well, let's have a couple songs prepped right towards the end. And there's one song in particular that I'm sure you guys have heard, but it's been on my heart lately. And that's the only one I'm going to play right now because I feel like through the message that's been spoken today and kind of what us men kind of go through, I feel like this song is the only one we need right now, so I'm going to play this song. It's called Hard Fought Hallelujah. And I feel like that's what God does in our lives, right? It might be hard fought, but it's a hallelujah at the end of the day. So sing with me. We need guitar too.
Yeah, I don't always feel it. Ooh, but that's when I need it the most. Oh, I'ma keep on singing till my soul catches up with my song. There's times when my hands go up freely, times that it calls. There's days when the praise comes out easy, days when it takes all the strength I've got. I'll bring my heart fought, heart felt, been through hell, hallelujah. I'll bring my storm tossed, torn sails, story to tell, hallelujah. Whoa, oh, oh, oh. God, you've been patient. God, you've been gracious. You're faithful whatever I'm feeling or facing. I bring my heart fought, heart felt. It is well, hallelujah. I'm wrestling with the darkness, but I'm trying to reach for the light. Yeah, the struggle keeps me honest, and it breaks down the walls of my pride. The faith isn't proving like gold till it's been through the fire. Heart and hands feeling heavy. Here we go. That's when I lift them just a little higher. I'll bring my heart fought, heart felt, been through hell, hallelujah. I'll bring my storm tossed, torn sail, story to tell. Hallelujah. Oh, 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 oh. God, you've been patient. God, you've been gracious. You're faithful whatever I'm feeling or facing. I bring my heart, fought, heartfelt, it is well. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, 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 oh. Felt, been through hell. Hallelujah. I'll bring my storm-tossed, torn sails story to tell. Hallelujah. Oh, 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 oh. God, you've been patient. God, you've been gracious. Faithful whatever I'm feeling or facing. I'll bring my heart, fought, heartfelt, it is well. Hallelujah. 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 Oh.
Thank you, God, for the men in this room right now, God. God, I just ask you, guide our past. Lord, just give us the opportunity to be men after your heart and do what's called to be. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you very much. Guys, thank you for a great evening and for attending. I just want to tell you that the Holy Spirit's laying on my heart. I went around the room and met a lot of different veterans. And I try to be as obedient to the Holy Spirit as I possibly can. And this is going to be meaningful, I would think, to several people in the room. The Lord, I've never gone to war. That was not something that was ever part of my life. But what the Lord is laying on my heart is that there are men in the room, military and not, who have terrors, visions, memories, things that do not escape you. And the Lord says that he's here to deliver you tonight from those. And so I'll dismiss the rest of the men. And if you'd like prayer, if you'd come here. But I would encourage you, if you're feeling led to help pray with me for these individuals, I'd appreciate it. And then I would ask you to stay to lay hands on the guys. Thank you for tonight and for your faithfulness in coming. God bless you guys as you go.